I'm Mark Bayshore. Shortly before Thanksgiving, some rural businesses in Michigan's Thumb faced a difficult request. At the peak of the fall harvest, Consumers Energy asked several customers to voluntarily curtail their natural gas usage for 10 hours a day. The shutoff didn't last long, but agribusiness leaders say it highlighted an ongoing concern for the future of Michigan's energy infrastructure. Current State's Kevin Lavery is back now to tell us more about it. Kevin, how are these companies using their natural gas?
Well, Mark, as you said, it was harvest time in the Thumb region. Corn growers were sending their crop to grain elevators for storage. The corn has to be dried in order to store it, and that requires natural gas power. There simply wasn't enough to go around. Jim Byram is president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association, which represents some of the affected producers, and I spoke with him recently. He says there was a combination of factors that led to the cutback in natural gas.
First was, about a month ago, we had some very cold weather in Michigan. That, coupled with the fact that we were still in the middle of corn harvest, created some real stress on the natural gas infrastructure. And then third, the corn crop itself has a little higher moisture content than normal, which requires our grain handlers, grain elevators, to dry that crop more than they normally would or have had to do for the last decade or so. So unnatural demand for natural gas to dry grain, coupled with the demand for home heating, really put a stress on the natural gas infrastructure. Fortunately, it's been resolved, but it just pointed out a real shortfall and a real concern that we've been talking about for some time in our overall infrastructure for natural gas and electricity, for that matter, in rural Michigan.
Well, what have we been trying to accomplish in that time period since this was all taken care of and resolved?
Well, our objective has been for some time, and working with the incumbent utilities, in particular Consumers Power, to make sure that we put programs in place that allow for the expansion of fundamental infrastructure. What I'm referring to are transmission lines to get enough natural gas or enough electricity to rural areas where our businesses are expanding. And let me be clear, Kevin, this is a real interesting phenomenon because we have businesses that have been told they can't expand because there's not enough electricity or natural gas available in their respective grids to supply enhanced or a much larger facility. So our production is limited, our growth is limited, which means job growth and job enhancement is limited in rural Michigan. And we have some other challenges about where we locate some of these even more advanced systems like food processing and things like that. So it's a very complex issue, and it's one that extends beyond just the utility. We need to make sure that economic development understands what we have to do, and state policy encourages those expanded grids, if you will.
In the last few years, there has been quite a bit of emphasis here in America on creating more natural gas reserves. Has it been a matter of production is not up to par? Is it distribution is not getting to where it needs to go? Where's really the problem?
Well, it's a great question. We in Michigan, of course, serve as a land bridge for some of that transmission to some of that natural gas. We need some off-ramps from some of that major transmission to some of our rural areas. Some of those lines that go to some of the more remote rural parts of the state, Huron County, for example, or Missaukee County, or wherever it may be, there's tremendous demand for natural gas in those retail markets, whether it's business or residential, but physically getting it there has actually been a major shortfall.
Are other neighboring states who perhaps have transmission lines coming through their territories as well experiencing the same thing? Are they also complaining about stifled economic growth? And how would that affect us here in Michigan if we're trying to be on par with Ohio or Indiana?
Well, other states are certainly starting to see some of the same issues. But again, it's a state policy issue as well as working with the utilities to create the opportunity for that expanded infrastructure. Unfortunately, in agriculture, in rural Michigan, we physically and realistically are at the end of the line. And that end of the line, those rural areas are where we're seeing increased demand, and that's causing stress on that line as it moves through some of the more populous areas. So we do need bigger lines, we need more infrastructure, and more expansion of both electricity and natural gas.
We're talking with Jim Byram, the president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association, about improving the energy infrastructure here in Michigan. Where do renewable energy sources fall into the picture, Jim? Or is that even something that's feasible on a farm? I mean, we think about wind power and solar power. We've got the state's plan for 25% renewable energy use by the year 2025. Is that really practical in the farm country areas, for example?
Well, that unfortunately, that 25 by 25 was not adopted by voters in Michigan here a couple of years ago. But renewables are a major opportunity, both renewables and energy efficiency. We're seeing farms look at solar installations. We're seeing farms look at even some small wind operations. Renewables present some opportunities, in particular for electric supply. But as it approaches things like natural gas or something that burns, which we have to use for grain drying, renewables don't fit in that particular arena.
So to go back a little bit, Jim, when these businesses in the Thumb region were voluntarily shutting off their natural gas, what types of businesses are we talking about, and what was their consumption like before they decided to cut back, and what kind of detrimental impacts did it have on them?
Well, these were, it was essentially in Huron County, northern Tuscola County, where it occurred, and basically, those operations were grain elevators. Those that receive grain from farmers receive corn in this situation. They receive the corn, then they dry it to a level of moisture that they can store the corn in big bins. They were drying, because of how wet the crop was, they were drying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The restriction that caused these folks to have to shut down their drying capacity for about 10 hours out of those 24 hours during a given day. It slowed harvest, it slowed the drying process for crop, and it actually caused farmers to have to delay harvest in some situations. Not to their detriment at the end, but if we'd have had a bad weather spell, we'd have had some real problems. Everybody wants to get the crop off as soon as they can, and that caused some angst because it slowed down that harvest process.
So at this point, who is drumming the beat for you in Lansing at the State House in terms of energy infrastructure? And is there any possibility that could be taken up at all during the rest of this lame duck session?
There's a possibility lame duck may see some action. I'm not optimistic, however. I think this is going to be a long and thoughtful discussion, and we're working closely with Consumers Energy on the issue. In fact, we're in lockstep on the issue to see expansion and infrastructure. Now, there's been some real leadership provided by Eric Nesbitt on the House side on this particular issue. Senator Mike Noss, the chair of the Energy Committee, Energy and Tech Committee in the Senate, certainly has been working on this issue with a work group that we've been involved in for several months. So this isn't a surprise to anybody. It's just a situation that this really brought home to roost just how severe and how much this is a today issue, not a tomorrow issue. So we do have to address it, and we're confident the legislature will be looking at this in the at least in the new session.
As it definitely gets colder, Jim, what types of concerns do you have now for the remainder of this winter when heat and fuel are certainly at a premium?
Well, our crop is harvested, so our use of natural gas in agriculture is virtually non-existent during the winter months. So we aren't going to be a factor in that demand. From a larger macro perspective going forward, if we continue to grow businesses, continue to expand production in rural Michigan, we have to have the capacity to meet that demand that may be forecast for the future years, because we don't need to build for tomorrow. We need to build for the tomorrows down the road. And that's the kind of issue that we're bringing to the fore with the legislature and with the Public Service Commission.
Jim Byram is the president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association. Jim, thank you for the update.
Always a pleasure, Kevin.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.